It didn't make the papers, but during the 5-day government shutdown, 25,000 visitors from all over the world were turned away from the Vermeer show at the National Gallery in Washington. This is the first exhibit ever devoted exclusively to the painting of the 17th century Dutch artist. Classical music critic Lloyd Schwartz thinks Vermeer's paintings are the greatest poems ever painted. Last week he went to Washington to see the exhibit.
There are many mysteries about Vermeer. He died at 43, deeply in debt, leaving 10 children and only some 35 paintings. Their rarity itself must be one reason these paintings are loved so much by those who love them. I'm still in mourning for the one that was stolen from Boston's Gardner Museum 5 years ago. I once wrote a poem that ended, "I've never lived in a city without a Vermeer." "You do now," an unsparing friend pointed out after the robbery. I even had a fantasy that the National Gallery might negotiate with the thieves to borrow that painting, but no such luck. Amazingly, 13 collections around the world have just allowed their Vermeers, many of them freshly restored, to travel to Washington, then in March to The Hague. Fat chance it will ever happen again. Seen together, the 21 paintings in this exhibit are even more mysterious. Why should an artist who started out doing large religious and mythological canvases suddenly paint a little street in his hometown? His paintings are miracles of clarity, yet there's something uncanny about them. Why should those brick houses, shuttered windows, tile rooftops, and a couple of women washing a sidewalk be so live, so touching in detail, as Elizabeth Bishop, perhaps the most Vermeer-like of all American poets, put it in her description of a small painting she inherited? What secrets do those shutters withhold? Almost all of Vermeer's other paintings take place within those houses. But while other Dutch painters were telling homespun stories in their genre scenes, Vermeer's images pull you in through their power of suggestion, their poetry. The tiniest drop of paint is often the source of Vermeer's greatest poignance. Like the barely visible dot in the corner of the moist red lips of the young girl with the big pearl eardrop. Is she one of Vermeer's daughters? The spot of light on her round pearl imitates the spots of light in her round, pearly eyes. "Those are pearls that were his eyes," sings Ariel in The Tempest, who is also singing about the way art depicts or transcends the transience of all beautiful things. In one of Vermeer's supreme masterpieces, The View of Delft, the angular rooftops catching a momentary shaft of sunlight on a lowering, cloudy day are as heartbreakingly precarious as Cézanne's apples. In a second, the light will disappear, like everything else in this world. But the painting keeps it from ever changing. Vermeer makes even the most ordinary people heroes. Many of these paintings seem to be about the very act of concentration, the mind wrapped in its own discoveries. In The Geographer, a handsome young man bends studiously over a map, while other maps lie strewn on the floor. In another painting, a pregnant woman in a blue housecoat is reading a letter. A large map fills the world behind her. Vermeer always reminds us that the world, which the cartographer is mapping and from which the woman receives her letter, is just outside, pouring in its bleak or radiant light. In one of Vermeer's tiniest yet most beloved paintings, a young woman is stitching lace. She's as oblivious to any observer as she is to herself. The crowd at the museum stands in front of the painting, mesmerized, intent on deciphering her miniature yet profound artistry. Isn't the lace maker Vermeer's image for his own art?
Lloyd Schwartz is classical music critic for the Boston Phoenix. The Vermeer Show is at the National Gallery in Washington through February 11th.